If we want peace, if we want love, we're not going to get it by arguing or confronting. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 98. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. It's Sunday, and as such, we're going to read from the epistles, and we get to read one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, that info is at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 98. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, open our eyes, open our ears, help us, Lord, to receive what it is you have for us this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I've become a man, I put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things. And the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men but to God, since no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. But the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another language builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in other languages, but even more that you prophesied. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in languages, unless he interprets so that the church may be built up. But now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in other languages, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you with a revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Even inanimate things that produce sounds, whether flute or harp, if they don't make a distinction in the notes, how will what is played on the flute or harp be recognized? In fact, if the trumpet makes an unclear sound, who will prepare for battle? In the same way, unless you use your tongue for intelligible speech, how will what is spoken be known? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different kinds of languages in the world, and all have meaning. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker will be a foreigner to me. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. Therefore, the person who speaks in another language should pray that he can interpret. For if I pray in another language, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, if you praise with the Spirit, how will the uninformed person say Amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you're saying? For you may very well be giving thanks, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in other languages more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order to teach others also than 10,000 words in another language. Brothers, don't be childish in your thinking, but be infants in regard to evil and adult in your thinking. It is written in the law, I will speak to these people by people of other languages and by the lips of foreigners, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. It follows that speaking in other languages is intended as a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together, and all are speaking in other languages, and people who are uninformed or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all are prophesying, and some unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convicted by all and is judged by all. The secrets of his heart will be revealed, and as a result, he will fall face down and worship God, proclaiming, God is really among you. What then is the conclusion, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, another language, or an interpretation. All things must be done for edification. If any person speaks in another language, there should be only 2, or at the most 3, each in turn, and someone must interpret. But if there's no interpreter, that person should keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate. But if something has been revealed to another person sitting there, the first prophet should be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophets' spirits are under the control of the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church meeting. Did the word of God originate from you, or did it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should recognize that what I write to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, he will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in other languages. But everything must be done decently and in order. Today, I edited Pastor Mel Bennett's 17th episode of In the Word with Mel Bennett, one of the podcasts here at Lifespring Media. And near the end of the message, he read the lyrics to the old hymn, Wonderful Peace. The chorus of the song is, Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. It's a beautiful hymn. Well, today in chapter 13, Paul talked about what love is, its characteristics, the way it manifests itself. Peace is not mentioned, but when you read those things that Paul lists, you know that where there is love, there is peace. Let me quickly read verses 4 through 7 again and see if you can imagine these things in the absence of peace. Paul said, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things." Beloved, we don't see much peace in the world today, do we? We're living in turbulent times. What we do see is a lot of hate, I'm sorry to say. If we want peace, if we want love, we're not going to get it by arguing or confronting. We need to pray for changed hearts. How are hearts changed? Only by the Spirit of God. But He uses people to bring His message to people, planting seeds so that the Holy Spirit can cause them to grow and bear fruit. Paul said in Romans 10:17, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God." And this is where the gift of prophecy comes in that we read about in chapter 14. Prophecy is telling God's message. Not everyone can have the gift of prophecy, but each of us can tell what God has done in our own life. Each of us can tell who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Each of us can be a bearer of the good news. Hearts are changed one at a time. I was saved as a teenager. I can point to a church service I was in when I publicly declared my faith, but I had really made the decision much earlier. It was from dozens and dozens of conversations with my friend Del Brixey, who invited me to that church. From listening to our pastor's messages, sure, but also from attending a Christian kindergarten. From seeing faith in Christ lived out in so many people in so many ways, and on and on. My faith was built a little at a time from hearing the Word of God in many different ways. Beloved, we should be praying each and every day, asking God to show us how we can love our neighbor, how we can share the message of hope, love, and good news. Because until we do that, hearts are not going to be changed. The world needs God now, more than ever. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we're going to be in the book of Exodus, and we'll read chapters 5 through 8. I hope you'll be with me. Until tomorrow, tell a friend about the podcast. May God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.